Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, page 1208. The Church Bibles, 1208. 1 Peter chapter 5, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 1 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5 and verses 1 to 4. Now, there is a close tie between verse 1 here and the end of the previous chapter, because you remember that Peter was telling them that the time had come that judgment would begin at the house of God. And when the Lord is viewing a situation, well, especially it is that he examines the church of God, the house of God, and he's expecting above all faithfulness there. And if God's people are those who are examined and judged, well, what is going to happen to those who are unbelievers? If God doesn't ignore the sin in his people, we can be sure he won't ignore the sin of those who go on in rebellion against him. And we notice that ties in with Ezekiel chapter 9, and of how there, as there was to be examination and judgment, they were to begin at God's house and with the elders. And it may be that this is what leads Peter to speak of the elders who are amongst the people to whom he is writing in the various congregations that he is writing to. And he gives them this warning that they should be diligent in their exercise of the office of elder. And this is therefore something that is important for us to consider. You might not be an office bearer in the Church of God. You might be saying, well, what relevance is this to me? Well, as you read this, it should stir you to pray for our elders. It should stir you to pray for our elders when you realise the duties that they have to fulfil, the important role they have. It should lead you also to appreciate their role and make good use of the work that God has intended them to do. And as we shall see, it is one of the things which is vital for the health of the church, that those who are office bearers in the church, especially ministers and elders, teaching elders and ruling elders, that they be faithful, because you can trace the decline in the churches to the failure of the preaching elders and the ruling elders to fulfill the task God has given them. The roots of the spiritual decline, which is so clearly seen in our nation today, you can trace back to a failure of the pulpit and a failure of the elders' box, as you used to have in many of the old churches, where the elders would be around the minister, there to be upholding him in prayer, they are preaching, as it were, with their he is preaching with their concurrence, and they are is saying to the people, this is right, and yet if there's a failure here, it soon works its way out to the pew, and you end up with disaster. And that's what's happened in our nation over the last 150 years, so much so that you have ministers who deny gospel basics, and they are wolves in sheep's clothing today. And you have elders who haven't a clue about basic basic doctrine, and who do not live in a God-honouring way. Many of those who masquerade as ministers and elders in our nation today, amongst the professing church, those who call themselves churches generally, are those who are ashamed upon the cause of Christ. So, this is something that's relevant to us all, and not just for those who are directly our elders. We'll notice four things, if time permits. First of all, consider their dignity. Their dignity. He speaks to the elders, one who says, I'm also an elder, and he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. There is a great dignity in the office of elder, because they are those who are to care for the flock of God. They are caring for the flock of God. Now, there are many names given to describe the church, many illustrations used to help us grasp what the church of God really is. And here it is a picture of a flock of sheep. God's people are the flock of God. And here's a reminder that the church is unlike any other organization in the land and throughout the world. And why is that? It is because it is not a human institution. It is not a human club. We are not people who have just decided to get together and be religious. God is the one who has founded his church. And Christ is building his church, and it belongs to him. He is the founder and the maker of the church. And we should remember that. There's a great dignity when we think of the church. It is a divine institution. We might say that the family is a divine institution. We might even say that the state is a divine institution, in that the powers that be are ordained by God and receive their authority from God, even although they do not often acknowledge it. But especially the church is known as God's flock, as God's church. He has founded it. He has created it, as is put in Isaiah 43, or as we read in Acts 20. It is the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Christ died to deliver sinners, to redeem, to buy sinners to himself. It is a blood-bought, precious church. Let's remember then, it's the flock of God, and of a high view of the church. And you'll notice it's described here as the flock of God. The flock, singular, of God. Here's a reminder to us that in many ways we may think of the church as one church. Sometimes, of course, the word church is used in the Bible for an individual congregation. You've got that with the seven churches in Asia. But here it is the flock of God. There is one flock, there is one church, as Jesus could say in John 10:16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring in. And there shall be one shepherd and one fold. And we must remember there is that unity of the church. There is one church of God. We must never think the church really is just my congregation and become narrow-minded. There is one church of God. And we should seek the unity of the church of God on the basis of truth and therefore on the basis of God's word, not that spurious church unity at the expense of truth and doctrine that often masquerades as church unity today. You see this unity even in the fact if you had someone who was an elder who came from a different denomination and was chosen to be an elder amongst us, we would not reordain him. These elders are elders of the church of Christ, the flock of God. What a privilege then they have to be entrusted with the care of God's flock. To think that they are to look after his sheep. And of course, they're to give an account to him. We read of the chief shepherd appearing, of Christ appearing, and of how they'll have to give an account to him. He is the, literally, is the arch shepherd. Or to change the word, the word that's used here with overseer, bishop, he is the archbishop of the church. We have many bishops who are elders, because the word's interchangeable in Scripture. And there's only one archbishop, and that's Christ himself. And the amazing thing is, he is pleased and determined to work through his, what we often speak of as under-shepherds, to further the work of the church. So it's a great dignity they have. And it means that you should value the work of the under-shepherd, of the elder, and receive them in a sense as you would receive Christ, and receive their ministry as you would receive Christ, because they are acting in Christ's name, on Christ's behalf. There's a dignity then, that they care for the flock of God. And you might notice also that they're assigned their position by God. In verse 3, he speaks of them, of how they are neither to be lords, masters or lords, over God's heritage. God's heritage. As soon as you hear that, you think of how in the Old Testament Israel was often spoken of as the heritage of God. That they were God's portion, God's people. The heritage, literally, is the lot of the allotment. In the Highlands, you would find lots of crofts, small holdings, as it were, and different families were given a different allotment, and that was their heritage, their inheritance. It was passed down through the generations. And you had a similar thing in Israel. It was divided up, and every family had their inheritance. And the whole of Israel was known as God's inheritance, God's portion. A reminder that the church is precious to God. The word there, God, you might notice, is in italics. And that indicates it's not actually in the original. And in fact, the word heritage there is in the plural. And literally, you could say, it could be translated neither as being lords over the allotments that are given to you. That would be a paraphrase. It may be that that's what he's meaning. It's unclear. It's a reminder to us that they were not to lord it over the portion of the whole flock that was being allotted to them as individuals. In other words, you've got one flock, but there's a recognition that the flock all are not in one place at one time. They are scattered throughout the world. In the case of this letter, they are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. There's others elsewhere. And in each district, there would be individual congregations. And who's established them but the Lord? He's the one who's established them. He's the one who's maintaining them. He's the one who is overseeing them. And he is the one who is allotting office bearers to them. Yes, as we look elsewhere in Scripture, we realise that it was through the popular election of the people, and there were people who had this privilege of being elected as office bearers within individual congregations, which were part of the universal great congregation of God. Here's a dignity to have. Where they are is given to them by God, that they might be workers together with him. And indeed they're described in Ephesians 4:7 as part of that spoil of war that speaks of in Psalm 68, part of the gift that Christ receives to give to his church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers. We could go on and say some elders, and yes, some deacons. And we should give thanks when we have elders. And when we think of the need throughout our own denomination, and indeed throughout the land, for more faithful elders, what should we do? Matthew 11:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Well, that's their dignity. And let us recognise the position they have, give thanks for them, and give them the honour that is due, and value them by using them as God intends, and by praying that God would add to their number. A second thing, notice their duties. Their duties. He speaks to the elders that are among you. The elders, well, we can trace it way back to the Old Testament, where in the Old Testament you had the elders of Israel, and especially the 70 elders appointed in the days of Moses. And they were there to rule Old Testament Israel. Later on, as the synagogues become more formally developed, you have the rulers or the elders of the synagogue, often older men, and therefore it is the presbyteros, the presbyter, the elder, that ruling in the church under Christ. The word elder suggests a ruler, but yet a ruler under Christ. And we're told about what their work is. What are the elders to do? Well, they are to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. It's interesting. You've got the word feed there. Literally, it's shepherd. Often translated in our version as feed, because that is one of the main tasks of the shepherd, to lead the sheep in Palestine, where there's a need to lead them to pasture and to water. You won't just find it readily. And so the feeding is very important, but it's one part of that work. and they are to feed by taking the oversight thereof. Now, that word oversight, it's the same word from which you get bishop, episcopus, episcopal, bishop. The word there, oversight, the verb is episcopio. It's the same word. What's that teaching us? That the medieval idea which came into the Anglican Church and into the Episcopal Church in Scotland, that the Covenanters resisted so much that you had a monarchical bishop who was over other elders, who ruled, was the chief ruler of the church in an area. That is not the biblical pattern. Because you'll see here, the elder is a bishop. And the bishop is an elder. You'll get that in 1 Peter 3 as well, for example. And you have a plurality of elders in most congregations. Well, what were they to do? They were to feed the flock of God. That's one thing. They were to lead the sheep into the pastures of truth. They were to build up the people of God in the faith so they understand the doctrines of God's word and understand how they apply to life. Show God's people from scripture how they are to live their daily lives and how the society should be organized. Dealing not only with the deep doctrines of who God is and of salvation, but also of how that comes down to daily living. And we've seen much of that in this letter. Remember then to pray for the preachers of God's word, those who labour in word and doctrine, as is put in 1 Timothy 5:17. Paul himself said, pray for me that I may be given a door of utterance to speak as I should speak. The mystery of the gospel, it's not easy. And to be able to speak and to speak clearly and relate to people, pray for me, he's saying. Now that's Paul. You think, what a wonderful theologian, how he understood the truth and how he seemed to be so successful. What's he saying? Pray for me. That I might know how to speak. That I might speak as effectively as I should speak. Friend, member of the flock of God, you want fed. Pray that preachers will be able to feed you. And it's not just the preaching elder. You have other elders who rule more, who may not be the main preaching elder. But remember, you'll come and visit, as a minister might come and visit as well. Ask him questions. Seek out his advice. Accept their advice. They seek to feed the flock of God. There's nothing more profitable and more encouraging to minister or elder than to have people ask questions about the Bible. What does this mean? Or how do I relate this to my life? What a blessing that is and a help to all. Feed the flock, that's one thing the sheep need. Another thing they need is protection. They're to protect the flock. After all, there are enemies, and sheep are vulnerable. They can't defend themselves, we know that. That's true of sheep, and it's true of us generally. Paul was conscious that the people of God, the saints of God, can so easily be drawn away into error. And he gave a warning. I know this, that after my departure, Acts 20:29, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. false teachers were going to try and enter in and draw people into error or into sin. How often the New Testament letters are written in that context. And indeed there's a warning that even from amongst themselves, troublemakers would arise. Jude 4 mentions the same sort of thing. And of course, if it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, it's all the more dangerous. That's the problem with these ministers who don't believe half the truth. They might dress like a minister. They might use the same sort of language as a minister. We'll speak about Jesus. We'll speak about the Trinity. We'll speak about the resurrection. We'll speak about salvation. We might even mention that little word sin. But they don't mean it in the same terms as we mean it, as the Bible means it, and they lead people astray. And so here's one of the duties of the elders, to be alert in case the minister starts speaking error, and to give warning and rebuke, or for the minister himself to be warning from the pulpit as he preaches against error. That's why there's a sense in which we must be negative as well as positive in proclaiming the truth of God. It's a case of, here's an error that's arisen. It's circulated in the churches. It's liable to rise again. It's good for you to be aware of it, because you'll see truth more clearly if you are often in the light of when it's compared to the errors which have been asserted regarding it. Often our confession of faith, if you read it, you'll find statement after statement is actually saying, this is the truth in contrast to that which is error. We are justified, made right with God by faith, not by works. Justified in time, not from eternity past. We're children of wrath until we come to faith in Christ. There's a need to speak, to protect the flock from enemies, and yes, something else from straying. Sheep have a habit of straying, and so it is with ourselves. I, like a lost sheep, went astray, thy servant seek and find. That was the psalmist in Psalm 119. What's the shepherd to do? To watch out, admonish those who they may be concerned about. Be careful. Are you letting things slip a bit? Are you beginning to drift? Are you letting go of Christ? Seem to nip things in the bud and keep the flock in the right path. They're to watch and admonish, to prevent decline. You know, our elder, I might come and visit, and well, if we ask, well, how are things, and how are things with your soul? You should welcome these things. They're meant for your good, because it's part of that caring protection. Pray that elders might be able to do that. And yes, there's times when a sheep may go astray and need to be brought back, and, well, it may involve what we call church discipline and the removal of church privileges. You know, some people resent that, but it's, when it has to happen, it's for a person's good, to restore them to the right path. Pray for faithful elders who will feed and protect the flock. Another aspect, to console the flock. The shepherd inspecting his flock might notice there's a sheep that is injured or sick. What does he do? He comes and he tries to deal with the injury, administer medicine. There's that tending care, seeking to help recover the one who has got weak and sickly. Our friends, is it not true that the Christian life has got its ups and downs. You may go through trials and difficulties, and they can end up bruising your faith. You're struggling. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why is he allowing this in the world? I'm feeling overwhelmed. It's wave upon wave of difficulty. Some people perhaps cope better than others. Some people have got more to deal with than others. But you see, here's the shepherd, caring for the flock, seeking to bring the healing balm of the gospel truth to those in need. That's why it's good to share concerns and share needs with the elders when the visit, so that they can try and bring that truth of God, which brings, sets the difficulties and problems in the right perspective and brings the promises of God with its comforts to console the injured and the sick and the tried and the troubled. Remember how it's put in James. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that anointing with oil is most probably just a reference to bringing some healing medicine with them and praying for God's blessing upon it all. Of course, you've got to appreciate that's the work of the elder, and you've got to make use of them if you're going to benefit. And if you don't benefit because you don't make use of it, the fault is with you and you're up yourself. So remember that. So that's the role of the elder. And it's good for us to consider that role and appreciate that role. And I think we should leave things there, and we can come back to this next week, God willing, and we'll see further things about how we're encouraged. And elders themselves are encouraged, and you'll be encouraged to pray for the elders. But let's be thankful that we do have an elder here. Let us pray that the day will come when we might be able to have more elders and deacons as well. And let us seek a biblical view of the church and be thankful that Scripture includes these things, and continue to pray that elders will be enabled to shepherd the flock of God. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we ask thy blessing upon us. We know we have need of thy leading and guiding. We thank thee that Christ is the chief shepherd, the great archbishop and archshepherd of his church. And O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst raise up faithful preachers and faithful elders, and that they may be enabled to work under thee for the furtherance of the gospel. O Lord, how we need thy help and grace. We pray that thou wouldst bless the elders of thy church and make them faithful, and that thou wouldst help us to value them more and more, for Jesus' sake.